We're thinking this morning about true leaders and true followers, the right people who should be leading us in our church life and helping us in our Christian lives, and the right way we should be following them, but following them as an expression of our loyalty to Jesus Christ and our desire to honor him. Let's think about the true leaders first of all, and here are some commands which Peter gives to these leaders. Just notice in your Bible, in verse 1, that Peter says that he is writing, making his appeal as a fellow elder. He's one who is walking alongside them, not standing above them, looking down on them. Yes, he has seen the witnesses, he's been rather a witness of Christ's sufferings. He will share with them, as he says, in the glory to be revealed. But he's a brother to them. He's a fellow elder. And it's on that basis of shared experience as one Christian leader to other leaders in the churches he's writing to that he gives these encouragements and commands. The first is that Christian leaders are to be willing shepherds. They're to be willing shepherds. In verse 2, he says, be shepherds of God's flock. Not your flock, leaders, but God's flock. They're the ones you are to shepherd. The word be shepherds, it's exactly the same word which Jesus himself spoke to Peter when he reinstated Peter after Peter's catastrophic collapse in faith and disobedience as he denied Jesus three times. The risen Jesus comes to him, firmly and lovingly says, shepherd my flock. And Peter spent by this point several decades doing just that, great personal risk and difficulty. But he's passing on the mandate he received from the risen Lord as Jesus' apostle and saying to others, you do the same, stick at it, don't depart from it. Be shepherds of the flock. And his responsibility is not your flock, it's God's flock. But it's under your care. They look to you. They need you, whether they fully recognize it or not. And certainly the risen Christ has commissioned you, leaders, to shepherd his people. In those first two verses, we get all the words which we associate with leadership in God's church. And they're used really interchangeably. We get the word pastor or shepherd. We get the word overseer, which historically has been translated as bishop, and we get the word elder, from which we get the word in English churches, Presbyterian and elder. So bishops, presbyters, pastors, they're all the same thing. They're all different ways of expressing the one biblical priority, that God raises up men who are to lay out their hearts and lay down their lives in caring for others in the church as they give themselves in Christ's name to shepherding the people of God. It's going to be intensive work. Anybody who's worked with sheep knows that it's a 24-hour business. And we, like sheep, often get frightened, hungry, sick. We wander off. Our hearts, our lives need constant care, nourishment, prayer, support, help, strength. It's an intensive work, Peter says, that the shepherds are to do. And it's a low status work. Shepherds in the ancient world had no great status. And actually where the Christian church is advancing, people won't, and they shouldn't, put its leaders on a pedestal. The leaders are to be willing, happily consumed with the low status, but deeply privileged work of shepherding. To do that work, as Peter says, not because you must, not because it's just a job or you feel other people's eyes upon you, but to do it because you're willing. Now, any Christian leadership, there are seasons which are draining, which don't feel that enjoyable. But that's okay. You're not in it, Peter would say, for the enjoyment. But even though it's hard, you must find your motivation springing up from a recognition that God has called you and appointed you to the task. And then you must be willing to put yourself at the master's service and for the good of the flock. So first point, be willing shepherds. And second point, and I've already strayed into it, be eager to serve. Be eager to serve. When you're eager to serve, you're not just picking and choosing the bits you like, the bits you find exciting, gratifying, personally affirming or rewarding about the work of caring for the flock. You go to all the flock with as much time as you can give them, with energy, care, respect, love and prayer for their good and for the glory of Jesus. Peter wants elders going into homes, situations, lives, crises with an eagerness to bring reassurance and encouragement and help as they point people to the Lord Jesus, not because those leaders must do it. That's a path of drudgery, but because the leaders are just overwhelmed with the privilege of being able to serve anybody in Christ's name. So true leaders are to be willing shepherds. They are to be eager to serve, not greedy for money, but eager to serve. If they didn't pay or they didn't pay well, Peter was to challenge the leaders listening to him, would you still do it? And would you still count it a privilege? And then thirdly, as Peter continues, leaders are to be transparently humble. They're to be transparently humble, not lording it over those entrusted to you. How can any Christian leader think that they can lord it over the congregation? That perhaps the congregation is there for their gratification as leaders, to make them feel good, look good, to enable some sort of privileged lifestyle, great financial advantage. Now that's lording it over the flock, looking down upon them and insisting that they meet the leader's needs. Jesus knew nothing of that in his life on earth. As he told the disciples in the upper room, I am among you as one who serves. And he just washed their feet. And Christian leaders are to be amongst their congregations as those who serve, whatever it takes, whatever the situation or the needs, not lording it. Because though Jesus was in very nature God, he became a servant. And those who follow him must be transparently Christ-like, transparently humble, willing to give themselves to anybody in any situation. Being examples to the flock. Now, all of us are always examples to one another. Sadly, there are times where maybe we're examples as to how not to live the Christian life, or what others might want to avoid. But Peter's saying that Christian leaders should live lives amongst fellow Christians who've been entrusted to their care in ways which leave an example. That might be wisdom, perseverance, love, prayerfulness. But we're always examples to one another. What are we examples of? Be the best example of the Lord Jesus is what Peter would teach Christian leaders. Be transparently humble. And let me just remind those of you who are part of the Hope Church family and who are church members that some months back, I think right back in February, the church elders said to you that we are looking and we're asking you to look as church members for men in the church family who the Lord might be raising up to serve alongside us, to serve you as elders. So we want men who are transparently godly, according to the eldership criteria of 1 Timothy 3 or Titus verse 1. We're also looking for men who've got gifts of teaching and handling the Bible, as those same passages prescribe. Now, we're not so much looking for somebody or some men who can, who will be there, so to speak, on the front line of Sunday morning teaching, but they must have gifting so that they can handle the Bible, maybe on Sundays, certainly in other contexts, groups, and teaching situations. Here's something which I want to underline, which we feel keenly as elders, and we must communicate clearly to you. We're not looking, and we're not asking you to look for men that any of us might consider, they're the finished article. They can start next week. Let's vote them in next week. Rather, we want you to be praying and seeking to discern any in the congregation who you think, I think they've got developing gifts and growing godliness. Maybe so that with mentoring and discipling and conversation, they might be ready to come before the church membership in 6 months' time or 8 months' time for us to consider them, whether we, the church, should vote them in as elders. So we're not looking for the finished article, but we're asking you to see if there are men in the congregation you believe the Lord might be raising up in time to serve alongside us as elders. Who are you looking for? You're looking, Peter would say, for those who are transparently humble, who are eager to serve, and who would be willing and committed in the work of shepherding. There's one more thing here, as Peter sets out for us who true leaders are to be, and that's in verse 4. They are to be sure about the future. They are to be sure about the future. Do you see how Peter maybe lifts the weary heads or hearts of the elders he's speaking to? And he's gently reminding them about the future. When the chief shepherd appears, when Jesus himself appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So much in our lives fades away. So many of our efforts in seeking to encourage one another in the Christian church, or those who are elders, seeking to lead and teach and disciple and shepherd others, our efforts seem to fade away. But God notes anything that is done in the name of Jesus Christ. And he remembers everything which is done to the praise of his Son. And he promises to reward. Now, confession time. Does the idea of wearing a crown excite me? Excite you? Maybe it'd feel a little bit silly. I don't think that Peter is saying we will wear literal crowns. But I think this is a picture of God honouring those who serve in his name, rewarding them abundantly and generously, setting them apart in his favour. That's the crown. And the greatest crown in heaven is knowing intimacy with the Saviour. We've struggled through our lives trying to serve to the best of our abilities, dependent upon his Spirit. He's ready One day, Peter says, to give you that crown. If you'll only hold on to his promises, cherish his people, and serve in the strength he supplies. Now, friends, lives from our leaders, our elders, lived according to Peter's criteria, may not look ever so spectacular, but there will be lives invested well, which we will all have great cause to look back on one day and be very thankful for the men who shepherded us in the Christian life. Now, for the remainder of our time, I want us to move on and think about true followers. If this is a life which those called to lead the local church are called to lead, what about all of us as followers? What does it mean, yes, to follow our leaders, but to follow them as an expression of our love and obedience to the Lord Jesus? Just three things in verses 5 to 7. Firstly, Peter addresses very much the young men, and their charge is to be respectful. Now, I know none of us are hearing this thinking, well, I'm not a young man, I don't need to be respectful. But Peter does single out particularly the young men to be respectful. I wonder why he does that. Well, young men, of course, have a temptation, as we all do, to be disrespectful. Maybe to look at those who are older in the church. Maybe to look at those who are set apart to lead and teach in the church and think, well, I could do that. Or, I don't think they're doing a great job. And so many promising young Christian men spoil themselves by an impatience and a pride and a self-centeredness which says, when's it my turn? When do I get to do this? I can do this best of all. No, the Lord wants to train and prepare younger men and women for their season of significant spiritual service. And he trains and prepares them through making them patient and making them learners. And he works into their hearts respect, appreciation for those who teach and lead them, willingness to be taught so that one day they might make themselves, they might be themselves great teachers and great leaders. So the challenge is particularly to the young men in the congregation to be submissive to those who are older. It's a message to all of us in a culture which undervalues and often disrespects age. We are called to be counter-cultural, treasuring, honoring, cherishing, respecting those amongst us who are older. Will we do that? Dependent upon Christ's help for us. If we're going to be true followers of the Lord Jesus, yes, we respect those who are older, including our leaders. And then secondly, we are humble ourselves. We can't look to the elders and just cross our arms and expect or demand that they are humble. We are to be humble. So Peter says, all of you, verse 5, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. And then he goes back to the book of Proverbs, reminding us that God opposes the proud. God is offended by the proud. But he gives grace, the proverb says, to the humble. God is with the humble, for the humble, strengthening the humble. So the therefore in verse 6 is supremely logical, isn't it? If God opposes the proud, we don't want to be so stupid that we try to live proud Christian lives. We want to humble ourselves. Humble yourselves, says Peter, under God's mighty hand. Now, could Peter be meaning for some of these Christians who are in this terrible season of suffering that God's hand is a very painful hand for them, as he is providentially bringing suffering, even persecution into their lives? That may well be what is in Peter's mind, that they are to embrace this trial and be patient with God's timing and be humble, seeking fellowship with and strength from the Lord, from his hand in this time. Could the phrase God's mighty hand mean that we need God's mighty hand to make our proud hearts humble? Possibly so. Some of us, as the Holy Spirit has worked in us, have detected that we are far from the humble people we thought we were. We rush to defend ourselves. We always need to talk. We don't like following. We want to tell. We don't want to be told. And when the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to see just the depths of pride, we need to beg him to help us. We need to ask for his hand to be at work in us. But he will. He will work in us. He will make us humble. Supremely, as he shows us the beauty of a courageously humble life in the Lord Jesus, who humbled himself to death upon a cross for wretchedly proud people like us. And on the cross, he took the sins of pride and arrogance and self-centeredness. And he was broken by them. And he was crucified for them. And he's risen today to show us the beauty of a life invested humbly trusting God, willingly serving others. That is the life of a true follower of Jesus Christ. So then Peter says, humble yourselves that he may lift you up in due time. Maybe Peter's thinking primarily he will bring that end to your suffering. And I think that is Peter's meaning. But we trust God's hand and we trust God's timing. And when we trust his hand and his timing, we can live humbly, free from our pride, eager to honor God in every trial and trust him in every situation. And the third and final mark of true followers of the Lord Jesus, be confident. Be confident. Be confident not in yourselves, but verse 7, be confident in God. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. In my role as a Christian disciple, husband, parent, and particularly church leader, I found that verse incredibly reassuring. That I can and must cast my burdens on the Lord. But that I'm invited to because he cares for me. And sometimes one of our greatest burdens as Christians is loneliness. A sense that we're not sure if others are with us, caring for us, or understanding us. Peter knew at seasons in his life and discipleship in terrible loneliness and isolation. But he knows that in his Saviour, God cared for him. And dear brothers and sisters, he cares for each of us. So let's take our burdens to him. He's always ready to bear them with us and give us strength to carry them. So that is God's wonderful word to us today. He's looking to raise up amongst us true, authentic leaders who lead like Jesus in the power of his grace. And he's looking to each one of us, urging us to be the true followers of his dear son, the Lord Jesus, respecting others in our congregation, humble to all, and confident in the mercy of God in Christ. Let's pray together, shall we? Thank you, loving Lord, that this word is so full of instruction and encouragement. We bring our hearts to you, often proud, often weary, And we give ourselves and our burdens to the Lord Jesus. And we thank you that he takes them, he shares them, and that he brings to us his humble and reliable love. Lead us in his paths and raise up in our hearts and in our church family the beauty of his love, his faith, and his holiness. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.